answer in life. And sometimes we brush over certain questions because we don't want to meet the question head on. Because for some reason, the question finds us short and finds us wanting. And so that is the reason why we'd rather not visit that question. So this morning I thought, well, since we all are here, and since I'm given the privilege to talk, so you are under my spell right now, and no, I'm kidding, that I can ask a question and attempt to answer it in the process. And then during my talk, I allow you to interrupt me and to say to me, can you clarify what you just said so that I can be more clear in this conversation. So let's make it conversational rather than me just saying things from up front and then you leaving here with more questions than answers. So I titled my message this morning, Why Jesus? Why would a family who's fourth generation Indian living in South Africa make Jesus the Lord of their lives? That's a question. And then you try to answer that question the best you can. And then you think, wait a minute. So Rocky, yes Rocky, why Jesus? Why not all the other options that are available? Well, to put it bluntly, I looked for somebody that can answer my questions. And I found one person that could answer it. And it was Jesus. Now Jesus didn't answer my question. Jesus was the answer. You see the difference? So I could come with all my questions and then look at various things and then find, I have this question, and Jesus looks at me and he says, I'm not going to give you an answer, I'm going to give you myself, because I am the answer to that question you just asked. And so you place all this in front of you and then you start looking at each one of it and you say, then Jesus is the one that I need to follow, because he made some statements that are very profound. But before you even think about Jesus, many of us are seated here, like Natasha, who thought we came from apes because she has been taught that, and so she lived it till she comes and finds the truth. Because once again, Jesus didn't tell us the truth. Jesus showed us the truth because he said, I am the truth. See, that's a profound statement that somebody makes, and it's a statement that you either have to believe or say, well, he's talking rubbish. So when I looked at it and looked at his life and looked at all the things that he said and looked at his word, I found, well, Jesus did make some good statements and it was true. And so I decided, right, let's take this this route. But when we first met Natasha and she came out with the story about, I believe in science more than I believe in God, and I said, I'm a bit confused because I believe in science too. So can science and God coexist is the big question that we're asking, isn't it? Can science and God be together? So in order for us to answer the question, we've got to go back to God's word. That's where I take my admonition and ideas and thoughts from, because I have to look at it and see whether it's proving anything to me. So I go to a text called Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That's the first verse in our Bible. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So right there, I found science. What is science based on? Three things. Time, space, and matter. Now look at that verse. In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and matter, earth. So all of science is based on that three things. So here is a book that is telling me that, hey, there is a creator behind this thing, and it didn't just come by chance. So I started to, wait a minute, somebody could have written that. So I need proof. Give me some proof that what you're saying is true. So I continued reading that chapter and I came to this verse here. And then God said, so remember this, in the beginning, that's time, God created the heavens, everything that you see up there, and the earth, this third ball from the sun that we live on. So that's what he spoke into being, into existence. But after that, God never speak anything into existence. He called it out of something that he'd already created. You understand? So the first thing that God created out of nothing was time, space, and matter. And thereafter, when he wanted to create, make anything, he called it from the things that he's already created, which is time, space, and matter. So if you look at this verse, for example, it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seeds. So in other words, when God wanted to create vegetation, where did he look? He looked at the earth. So he looked at this great ball that he created and he said to the earth, bring forth. And so when God said, bring forth, it came forth. So he looked at the earth and he said to the earth, bring forth, and it came forth. And therefore, when in order for vegetation to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from. Are you in agreement with me on that? So God looked at the earth and he said to the earth, bring forth. So out of the earth came vegetation. So when you remove vegetation out of the earth, what happens to it? It dies. So it has to be put back into its source that it was created from in order for it to continue living. Does that make sense? Right. So when God wanted to create everything that you see out there, where did he look? You see, when God wanted to create everything out there, he didn't look at the earth. Because if he created things from the earth, it will die out there. So he had to look at all the gases that he put into play, into space. And then he looked at the gases and he said, bring forth. And the gases brought forth everything that you see out of there. That is why when you see a shooting star, at the minute it enters our atmosphere, what happens to it? It dies. Why does it die? It is not created to live in our atmosphere. That is why it dies. So in order for everything that is out there to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source that it was created from. Are you with me? So when God wanted to create vegetation, he looked at the earth and he said, bring forth. When he wanted to create the stars and the galaxies and everything that you see up there, he looked at the gases and he said to the gases, bring forth. And they brought forth. And in order for galaxies and stars to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from. Are you with me so far? Right. Then when God wanted to create fish, where did he look? He looked at the waters. And he said to the waters, bring forth. And once again, in order for fish to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from. Simple, isn't it? That's simple logical thinking. So in order for vegetation to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from. And what is the source it was created from? The earth. In order for the galaxies to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from. And what is the source? Space. In order for fish to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from. And what is the source? Water. That's scientific enough, isn't it? Anything that has to have a life has to stay connected to the source it was created from. Then why do I need God? Because when God wanted to create man, where did he look? He didn't look at the space. He didn't look at space. He didn't look at the earth. He didn't look at the water. He looked at himself. And he said, let us make man in our image. So if vegetation has to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from, right? If fish has to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from, right? If all the galaxies have to stay alive, it must stay connected to the source it was created from, right? In order for you to stay alive, you must stay connected to the source you were created from. Am I right? So here is the first chapter in the book of Genesis, God's book, telling us that science and religion coexist. You cannot use science to say religion doesn't exist, and you cannot use religion to say the science doesn't exist. They are there to complement each other. And that is why I'm a believer in this faith. Because it constantly tells me that this God that I serve is the creator of science. Amen. Amen. So here is God saying to me, Rocky, when I wanted to make you, I looked at myself and I called you into existence. And in order for you to stay alive, you must stay connected to me. Of course, then we come back to that question as to why Jesus. Now, if a tree is uprooted from the ground, the only way the tree can be put back is somebody has to put it back. If fish gets out of water, the only way that the fish can go out of, get back into the water is somebody has to put it back into the water. Right? That's the same with us. When we get disconnected from God, somebody has to put us back into God. And we can't do it in our strength because we don't have the capacity and we are disconnected, remember, and we are dead. How can a dead thing reconnect itself to something? It needs to take something that has life. And that's where God said, Jesus, go down and sort this out. Go and reconnect this entire human race back to me. I want them to be connected to me because outside of me, they have no life. Now, let me tell you the story. Why Jesus and why his blood is so significant in the Christian faith. Now, I have a friend back in South Africa who was a dentist. His name is Rogers. He's my dentist. One day I went to visit him and I was just lying on his table getting my teeth checked. And as normal, being a faith person believing in God. I looked at him and I said, Rogers, I just want to ask you a question. Do you have a faith? And he said, oh, yeah, I believe in God. So that's interesting. What makes you believe in God? He said, blood. Blood makes me believe in God. I said, how can blood, just normal blood, make you believe in God? He said, it fascinates me how there's only one kind of blood that flows through your body, right? So if you had to lose a fingernail, your blood that flows through your body comes to the end of your finger and creates a fingernail. I said, oh, that's normal. He said, no, no, no. Listen to this. When I lose a tooth, the same blood that went and created the fingernail flows back into my body, comes into my mouth and creates a tooth. It fascinated me. Why didn't it create a fingernail in my mouth or a tooth on my finger? He said, the blood is just so fascinating that it goes to different parts of my body. It goes to the bone that broke and it fixes the bone and it doesn't put tooth or enamel on my bone. It goes and creates bone in bone. It creates fingernail where fingernail should be. It creates tooth where tooth should be. And he said, when I saw that in my studies to become a dentist, I said, this is fascinating. And then when I come into the Christian faith, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ avails for every single one of us. And the meaning that his blood has the capacity to, just like our blood fixes fingernails and fixes tooth and fixes bone, his blood has the capacity to fix you and I and reconnect us back to God. That's why I'm a believer in Jesus. That's why I get fascinated with this God. That's when I look at him and I say, wow, man, you're a cool dude, if I can say those words to him. But the bottom line is that whenever I have this amazing encounter with God, it just brings me back to the fact that he loves me. Now this great God and Savior, the master of the universe, the creator of this galaxy, he comes to me and to each one of you and he says, I'd like to have a personal relationship with you. I want to get to know you better and I'd like you to get to know me better. And today, as we come here, we listen to these testimonies of the people that were standing up front and sharing what God means to them and what Jesus means to them particularly. And they have made this decision to come and say, yes, we are saying yes to this God because he is divinely reconnecting us back to the Father. Andrew Gamble quoted a scripture this morning and he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The connection back to God can only be made from God's side, because he looks at our disconnection. And that's when he sends Jesus, and he says, Jesus, reconnect this crew back to me. And that's what Jesus does. And the day you say yes to Jesus, you get reconnected. You see, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people alive. Because if you're disconnected from God, you're dead. Yeah. Jesus takes you and he reconnects you back to God and you come alive in him. That's the God I want to present to you this morning. That's the God that all these people have said yes to this morning and said, I really want to follow this Jesus who reconnects me back to the Father. That's the message of hope that the whole of Worksop needs to hear. That's the message of hope the whole of the UK has to hear. In fact, that's the message of hope the UK sent down to South Africa and got me to connect to God. And now God is saying, now you go back to the UK and tell them the same message that they sent to you, you bring it back to them. Fantastic, this God, how he works, isn't it? It's like how we'll just send you back there to give them the story. So this morning, if you are seated here and you have more questions, you know, one of the people that I got to know in this last couple of months is Cameron. Cameron is the husband of Joe. I mean, he came to our house and we had this sit down and had a meal together. And Cameron is one of those very careful thinkers and speakers. So when he asks you a question, it's not the question that normally is asked. He'll ask you a question like, I didn't even think about that question. And so now you have to start thinking as to, now how do I get back to Cameron on this one? So you have to go away, think, and then you come back to Cameron. I'm still waiting for that invitation, by the way. So it's questions that we have as human beings constantly in our lives. And I said to you in the beginning of my talk that Jesus doesn't supply all the answers. Jesus is the answer. You know him? He answers the biggest question. And what is the biggest question? How do I reconnect back to God? And it is only through his finished work on the cross of Calvary. It is only through the shedding of his blood that says to me, Rocky, here's a new connection happening. And you this morning seated here, you want to have more conversations with me or any of the leaders in this church, please feel free to do that. It's an excitement and a joy when you come to know this God. I mean, it's amazing. You just think like, why did I wait so long to do it? And you may be seated here and religion has put you off. You've been going through religious activities and this is a dead thing. I'll guarantee you one thing. In this church, we don't do religion. We do Jesus. We do the power of the Holy Spirit. We do the preaching of the word. We allow him to speak to you in the best way. That is why the worship leader said, you can sit if you want to. You don't have to stand. If you feel like standing, stand. Why? Because, and your children can come and drop the crumbs on the floor and they can spill their coffee wherever they want. Why? Not because we want the place to look untidy, but because you are at freedom in your father's house. When you go to daddy's house, you open the fridge. You have your own ways. You go into switch the TV on. You go and take your coffee and go sit where they don't normally let people sit. Because daddy's home and that's daddy's house. When you come here into WCC, that's one thing you will be guaranteed. That you're coming into your father's house and there'll be a freedom that you won't be bound by religion and religious activity. What you're seeing today, if you come next Sunday, it won't be here. You understand? It's going to be something totally different because we want God to minister to us the best way possible. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. If you are seated here and you're saying, I'd really like to know this God. And I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable and say, oh, put up your hand or come forward or whatever it is. I just want you to, just in, for a moment, just concentrate or contemplate what I just said, that anything, in order for it to stay alive, must remain connected to the source it was created from. And you, my friend, as a human being, have been created from the source. And that source is your God, who wants to have a relationship with you. You can go away from here and let that thought constantly play on your mind and then ask a question later on. Or you can, during the times that we are having a meal after the service, that you can come around and say, oh, I just need to talk to you about this. I have this question or I need this to be said, to be answered. And we'll do that for you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for every one of us that as we are seated here and as we come to you and come to know you as Lord and Savior, Father, we just want to say how thankful we are. For those of us who know you and have this intimate relationship with you, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be reconnected to you and to have this close, intimate encounter with you. Pray for those who are searching, those who are still asking questions, Lord, that you will still be the answer to every single question that is being asked, because you are Lord and you have the answers to any question that we ask, because you are the answer. So bless us today as we continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Some of you may be having questions as to what's going on this morning. It is just a public declaration to say to the rest of us, I am making... You see, when you reconnect to God, it's a faith act. You're saying to God, I want Jesus to come and live in my heart and be the Lord of my life so I can reconnect to God. But we don't see it. We don't know you're doing it. So this act is basically saying to the rest of us, you know, I told you that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to go through here and show you that that's exactly what it means, that I am saying yes to Jesus. And what simply happens, it's symbolic of this, that when we take a person and we dip them into the water, so we're basically saying, we're getting rid of your past, the life that you've lived before. You get into this water, it's like a watery grave, so we're burying your old person. And when you come back up, you are this new person in Christ, reconnected to God. And it's just a symbol of what God has already done in the hearts and lives of these people. All right. God bless you. I'm going to call the worship team forward. And while they get ready. The baptism candidates are going to go and get changed and ready and come back. Yeah.